Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Okay, all right, let's get into it. What a show we put on yesterday. Out at the Horse and Jockey listener party for all our fans and winners, and they had a good time.
I loved it! Oh, my God, it was so much fun!
Look, James was pretty good, eh? He sung just unreal. I love him.
I have loved seeing all the footy stars, have loved, just loved being in this atmosphere. It's such a good time.
The day was just being around all the people that love these Triple M people, and we've had a brilliant day.
Thank you, everyone who turned up. You're a great bunch. They were a good crowd. They were hoeing into it early,
yes,
too. They were rowdy, and boy, they were knocking it back. I have ultimate respect for anyone who turns up there in costume 10 o'clock and knocks them down hard and fast, especially the hard and fast like a solo man. The hard solo cocktail, i.e. slushy, pulled its weight.
We were there.
People were into it, including you as Hulk Hogan, were enjoying the hard solos. Right, Hulk, what do you make of the hard solo cocktail?
Mickey, it's got taste. It's got what the cooks wants, and I love it.
Do you think Andre the Giant would like this?
Where is Andre? I'll take him down like a...
Now, that's what you call getting into it and playing your part.
Yep.
Unlike you, Natasha Belling, who refused to do the Nutbush. Came as Tina Turner. We put on the Nutbush music. Ran out the door.
I did.
Ran into oncoming traffic.
On Parramatta Road.
On Parramatta Road, rather than do the Nutbush.
Look,
what's wrong with you?
Oh, because I'm not a performing dog. I need a bit of warm-up to do the Nutbush. A lot of pressure with the wonderful Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had a couple of drinks, didn't you, before?
I'm not as bad as you. You were wearing sunglasses inside.
Well, that's what Hulk wears. Hulk
does he?
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Hulk did, in my costume.
The fact checkers were there. Good costumes from the producers, I thought. They looked very good. A few thanks. Firstly, the NRL boys. Now,
Blocker.
First time I've met, apart from Dell, who I know well, but geez, they're good blokes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you. Just top shelf. Good blokes, good stories.
Oh, yeah, Blocker.
You and Blocker in London, well, never. I will get to the bottom of that.
It was really good because yesterday at our function, we kind of made our listeners put their phones away for a couple of minutes while we did delve into some stories that we couldn't say, you know, out publicly, and I thought they were great. Dell was awesome. Wade Graham, awesome. You're awesome in our rugby league panel. You're getting your arm and legs around this rugby league thing, aren't you? You're going great.
I have a circumspect understanding of it. A couple of thank yous. Firstly, Arthur Launay, who the bloke who runs the show and provided the pub. What a gentleman!
All the Launays.
He was there. The Launays were there, and what a top bunch! And they were having a laugh and enjoying it. They put on the show, so can't thank you enough. What a top venue.
Yep, and Bron for organising it from our end as well.
Bron's a superstar. All her staff.
No thanks whatsoever to station manager Rex.
And that costume was indecent.
It was very,
what are you talking about?
It was the tightest pants I've ever seen. We were worried about our listeners showing up in inappropriate stuff. I think Rex's was the most inappropriate. Those pants, I had to look him in the eye at all times.
He had a lightsaber literally in his pants.
He's not here. He's working from home.
Good job done by all, and especially James Rain. I thought it was a James Rain impersonator at one stage because everyone was dressed up. No, how bloody good was James Rain?
Unbelievable.
We've got to give out his dates for his tour and his new music. It's unbelievable. But to come and play at that time on a Monday morning and sound.
Oh, that's crystal.
Welcome to the 96th Oscars, everybody.
Best picture. Maria is the Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer.
And the Oscar goes to Cillian Murphy.
Robert Downey Jr.
I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy in that order.
Oppenheimer, the big winner on the night. I think it bagged 7 of the 13 it was nominated for. It's a great rom-com. It's a great first date
good
film.
Comedy.
Yeah, if you're going to go, no kissing
dark
up the back. Well, it is what it is. And it is a terrific film, I have to say. If you ever get the chance, go and see that in IMAX. A great piece of storytelling and a story that hasn't been well told because of the politics behind it.
That's right.
But it's well worth a look. Now, what else on the night? Jimmy, this is now who puts their hand up to host an awards night.
It's very hard.
In America, the toughest assignment for a comedian. Why would you do it?
No.
Everyone passes. Jimmy Kimmel said, I'll do it. But it's just vanilla. You cannot get out there and strafe the room anymore like you used to. Here's as rough as it gets in the opening monologue.
Sitting with the biggest movie of the year, Barbie. Look, kids, it's Barbie and Ken sitting just near each other. Ryan and Margo, I want you to know that even if neither one of you wins an Oscar tonight, you both already won something much more important, the genetic lottery. Oppenheimer, directed by the great Christopher Nolan, also a very attractive man. And this is a fascinating person. Christopher Nolan doesn't have a smartphone. He doesn't use email. And he writes his scripts on a computer with no internet connection, which is a powerful way of saying, I will not allow my porn addiction to get in the way of my work. And congratulations to Cillian Anne's co-star, Robert Downey Jr. This is the highest point of Robert Downey Jr.'s long and illustrious career. Well, one of the highest points. But was that two on the nose or is that a drug motion you made?
Well, referencing a very checkered background. So that was as tough as it got. And this is what you get for cancelling everyone. Vanilla. I hope you're happy.
Yep.
You get a very bland, beige world to live in. That used to be fun.
Oh.
You come out, you strafe the room, and now you can't do it for fear that you may never work in that town again. He was there referencing
Robert Downey Jr. With his drug use.
Incredible background. And
he used to wake up in other people's houses and shit.
Right, he famously was found naked on a road at a major intersection telling cops he was covered in imaginary rats.
Oh, can I say it was the highlight of the whole Oscars, his acceptance speech where he thanked his wife who loved him back to life.
Okay, I don't think we have that bit. Do we do have an excerpt from his acceptance speech?
And the Oscar goes to Robert Downey Jr.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, fellas. That's amazing. You only flubbed one line. I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy in that order.
All right, we get the idea, but you said he said something.
Yeah, did he thank his wife who loved him back to life, and I was crying.
Just quickly, is it Killian? Is it Chillian? Is it
Killian?
Killian.
He said Cillian.
Yeah.
Whatever. One of those names.
Who knows?
Is it John Cena or John Cena?
John Cena.
Well, John Cena provided one of the highlights of the night when he came out
nude.
Togless.
Yep.
Sans togs, replicating a famous moment. We won't play that bit, but we'll play it. Replicating a famous moment when David Niven was presenting an award and a nude man ran out onto stage. Now, remember, David Niven had no idea this was about to happen, and here he is live improvising on the spot.
Quite likely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was almost bound to happen. But isn't it fascinating that... fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
Bang, cop that.
David Niven.
Look, there's more to unpack. We might get to Al Pacino later. Some of the speeches went on too long. You know, have the orchestra. I think they need to dial it up a bit. They should have a sniper in the crowd. And when you see a red dot.
You got to stop.
When there's a red dot. But the orchestra is used occasionally when someone's banging on too long. And yet,
I'm done with this.
Dare you?
I'm done with this break already.
Kat,
I'm sorry. Yeah, going.
Good Lord, here she comes. Natasha Billings in the studio, which means there's got to be some Kate Middleton talk just around. Oh, look, she's look at her swatting around like she's. What do you want from us?
Yes.
Oh, where do I start?
All right. Well, look, here's what's been happening. You've been mounting the case fairly strongly she's dead. Yes, well something's not right at the House of Windsor.
Yes.
You were suggesting that yesterday, early, that photo may have been photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was Kate actually left a message for us to deny that was the case, which put you back in your box. Here was the message she left for us.
Hello. I would like to clarify that the photo of me is not in any way made by AI. Just like this voice recording right now. So please tell Natasha Belling that all is well.
All right, so
thank you, Kate.
It turns out you may be right.
Sorry, what was that?
It turns out you may be right. We'll unpack this in further detail. Appears you may have been ahead of the curve when it comes to conspiracy theories relating to Kate Middleton. Where are we at? Okay, tell us what happened. This all happened within a 24-hour window.
Absolutely.
You suggested the photo was photoshopped, mm-hmm. and the biggest news agencies in the world took a look and went, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
And did what they say. They killed the photo.
It's historic. I've never heard of major news agencies doing this. They put out what they call a kill notification on the photo, which was released of Kate and the three children to mark UK Mother's Day. The kill notification, the agency said the photo had been manipulated. And so that they were going to pull it. Now, I've analysed the photo, right? And all of these experts have come out, including top photographers, saying, first of all, the tree in the background had leaves. Wrong time of the season.
Wrong time of the season. For
okay.
All right, yeah.
Charlotte's hand, everything was wrong with the photo. A zipper was mistakenly put on Kate's jumper.
But well, who's photoshopped this? Wouldn't they have the best photoshopping department in the world?
You said about the ring, too, on your finger.
Yes.
That was number one thing.
She didn't
thought.
Have an engagement or
take
a
your
wedding
boy
ring.
Into this. I expect more from you.
I'm political. I was wrong.
Okay. So what is really concerning about this is they've put out the photo to, you know, quash all the rumours and speculation. If anything, they've just doubled the fuel about what is going. Are you shutting me down?
Well, I want to know what you think is happening there. Okay, so what are they protecting?
Yes.
I'd say at all costs, something is wrong with Kate.
The first theory was she was dead.
Yep.
You said she's dead. I like the Batuta advocates idea that she may be going into the jungle.
Or she's had a Brazilian butt lift.
Well.
Do you think it could be mental health?
There could be a number of reasons that they're trying to. I don't think they're protecting Kate. I think they're protecting the future heir, which is Will's.
And you're saying that you're now going to the other side.
Well, no, I'm just saying I don't understand what their end game is here. You have to be truthful. And what the bigger problem is now they're going to really struggle to get the public's trust back if they put out any further update on Kate's health.
Oh, well.
And she was wearing skinny jeans.
Are you confused?
Don't forget sport coming up, by the way. Yes. We'll get back onto sport very soon. Well, you seem to have got things largely right, so it's probably incumbent on us now live on radio to make a formal apology. So, Tash, on behalf of myself and, of course, MG, we wholeheartedly apologise for what we said on yesterday's program, and we sincerely mean it.
Mean it. Mean it.
From the bottom of our hearts.
Yep.
On behalf of the station and everyone here, we will never question
your integrity again. And we
mean that. This is from the bottom of our hearts and sincere, not pre-recorded or phoned in.
No.
Sorry.
Very, 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 very sorry.
Very sorry.
Sport Report.
Yeah, after a thunderous few days, Spencer Lenu has finally learned his fate at the NRL judiciary, last night receiving an 8-match ban. Obviously,
what do you make of that?
8 weeks is a long time out of the game, Mickey, but the NRL and I suppose indeed the NRL judiciary have drawn a line in the sand and sending a stern message saying that any type of racism is not a part of our game. Now, I think it's the biggest suspension in the last 6 years in NRL, so... they've definitely made a statement.
The clubs accepted it, but deny that there was a racist undertone to the language used.
That's
exactly, is that what they're saying?
That's exactly what CEO Joe Kelly has said. He said that he said it, but he doesn't think it was met with any malice.
All right, let that be a warning loud and clear to anyone out there at the start of the season. They're not mucking around.
No.
They'll come for you. Okay, let's get on to the big one.
Yeah, cricket over in New Zealand, and Alex Carey has steered Australia towards its highest successful run chase against New Zealand in test matches.
That's a great comeback.
98 he got. They swallowed up the target, and this is how they hit the winning run.
Popped away. Pat Cummins hits the winning runs. Australia sweep New Zealand 2-0 in the series. That is some performance. Alex Carey, take a bow. Mitch Marsh, outstanding.
We'll get back to that in just a moment, but you heard the commentator say, clean sweep, sweep the series, congratulations. Apparently not.
No.
Apparently it's another moral victory for a test team playing Australia. Firstly, the Poms.
Yep.
They couldn't get the Ashes back. We retained the Ashes, but it was a moral victory.
Give me a break.
For them. And now New Zealand have come out and said, now this...
Kiwi batter Daryl Mitchell has said that they're not defined by outcomes. For us, we're always said as Black Caps, we're not defined by outcomes. We're defined by how we play cricket, and hopefully we can inspire our country to play the game.
Well, you're playing a four, you know, under-12s.
What if they won?
It's test cricket.
If they won, it'd be,
but it's test cricket. You are defined by outcomes.
You are.
And you didn't win.
No.
This, to me, this is the new modern thing. Everyone gets a prize.
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
You didn't win.
No.
It was a great comeback. You were in a winning position, but you didn't win.
That's a good point.
Listen to this. Although we didn't get the win we wanted, I think if we keep turning up and keep playing cricket like this, puffing our chests out and doing it with a smile on our face, hopefully inspiring many young kids here in New Zealand to play test cricket in the future, we're doing the right thing. I tell you what will inspire kids in New Zealand. Win! It's test cricket. Another moral victory.
Yes.
The world is, it's now, it's like tennis players. All these players who go, oh, we don't care if we win anymore. We're just entertainers.
Yeah.
I had a good tournament. I didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you couldn't beat Federer. That's why you couldn't beat Nadal. Yep. That's why you can't beat
Djokovic. Yep.
And this is why we won.
Yes.
And this is how brutal it is. Carey is on 98. There's two runs to win. Cummins is up the other end. Do you think he's going to just bat it away and give him a chance?
No.
Your immediate job is to win the game for Australia.
Yeah.
The field is in, right, protecting the single. What do you do? And I'm pretty sure, right, Carey's gone down the wicket and said, you know what you've got to do, right? You win the test match for Australia.
Yes.
He's done it. It sparked a debate. 133353. Has Cummins done the right thing? Should he have waited and let Carey hit the winning runs?
Well, he said post-match that he didn't even realise that Carey was on 98.
That's bullshit. that is bullshit. Should he have waited and let him run, or did he do the right thing by killing it dead? 133353. Let us know what you thought of the test result the last day, New Zealand, Australia.
And the moral victory.
Yeah.
For New Zealand.
Captain Pat Cummins. Henry gets the edge and it flies away. Left the gap between slip and gully, and that's four more. Straight, driven, beautifully, genuinely classy shot. Popped away. Pat Cummins hits the winning runs. Australia sweep New Zealand 2-0 in the series. That is some performance. Alex Carey, take a bow.
Yes, well, not only Alex Carey, but also Pat Cummins, who's a bit of a hero, came in at a very tenuous spot. There'd been two wickets, two balls. Only three wickets required, a mountain of runs, and he steadied the ship and he played a classic innings up until the point where he's hit the winning runs. Have we got the last ball there? I think we played it previously. Let's do it again.
Popped away. Pat Cummins hits the winning runs.
So there's been some discussion as to whether he's done the right thing.
Yeah.
Three wickets in hand or is it two wickets in hand?
Oh, they were seven for. So
You go. And they're saying he could have just dropped it at his feet.
Farmed it.
Change of ends. And Carey hits two or four, hits the winning runs, gets the win and
100.
The century. But no. Cummins has dispatched it to the boundary. Did he do the right thing?
Well, I think if you ask everyone in the Australian cricket team, they'll say yes. If you're asking me, I think that Carey was under the pump so much that I think 100 for him would have been one of them iconic moments.
Well, there's a bit of chat going on out there in the front bars all around Australia. Did he, should he have, wouldn't he? Let's go to our callers. Greg, what do you say?
Yeah, he did the right thing, team. He got us the win, and Carey could have got out and helped protect his batting average.
Yeah, well, he goes through. It'll help his average in that series. And do you know what? He's done everything he needed to do, which is get him across the line. Thanks, Greg. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, team first. Personal glory second. And the beer always tastes sweet after a win.
Yeah, good point.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You've got to lock away the win first.
I think so.
I think you've got to go. That is beyond...
Yep. Because I could have gotten out. You know, it could have been a blistering ball.
If he had got out, Hazelwood's not great.
No.
And Lyon, all of a sudden they've got a sniff and they can put 11 around the bat and who knows what's going on. Well said. Individual versus team. I think cricket needs to understand.
I think so.
The team is first. Mitch, what do you think?
Boys, the club, or in this case the country, comes first. The team comes second. And the individual always comes last.
Yep.
Summed it up. There's the bloke who sums it up best.
Yep. $250 cash thanks to Work Scene. Well done, Mitch.
Hey, Mitchie.
Yes, well done, Mitch.
Good on you, mate.
You were the man of the match here on the show this morning. We will do a poll and see, because I know all our calls came through pretty adamant.
Yes.
The right decision's been made, but I have heard conjecture out there. This crosses a line, I believe. What have you got, Tash? I don't understand this story.
This Melbourne mum has caused outrage with a group of friends. She's hosting dinner at her house. She's not getting it catered for. She's just cooking a steak and salad.
Hosting a dinner party?
Yes.
At home.
And she's charging guests $100. to have a seat at the table because the steak is so expensive.
Now, I know and I sympathise with the cost of living.
Yep.
I get it. It's tough out there. But if you don't host the dinner party
or go
to a restaurant, but you don't invite people around.
And charge them.
What, do you charge them at the door or do you get them the bill comes out?
Yeah, we'll get the POS machine.
No, I get a vibe she's making them transfer before they actually attend the house.
Pay to play.
Yeah.
That so,
is it all you can eat?
Oh, I don't think so.
Is it all you can eat?
Wow.
Can you send stuff back? I mean, if I'm paying $100, I'm going to go, I'm sorry, Marge, but I ordered this medium rare and that seems a little overdone for me.
Yeah, I want matching wine pairings.
Wow.
$100.
Can you charge extra on a public holiday?
Yeah.
Oh, look out. Here we go.
Double demerits.
$100. I want a Michelin's hat.
Oh, yes.
You want to know? And I tell you what, I'm not leaving any of the wine I bring over.
No.
$100. I think that's un-Australian. I think that crosses the line. I think she's officially a tight ass.
Yes.
Yes, let's do it. 133353. Are you a tight ass? Have you seen tight ass behaviour? Uh-huh. Let's take your calls after this and there will be prizes.
Yeah, so double pass to see Pandemonium with Alice Cooper and Blondie playing at that festival. Unreal.
Oh, what a cheapskate. I'm broke.
I want to borrow some money from you.
He's a tight ass!
You got that right. And we're doing this today because there's a woman out there charging her friends $100 to attend a dinner party at her house. And she's not catering it, she's cooking.
Steak.
$100 ahead. Oof, it'd want to be spot on, wouldn't it? Do you get to order off like a menu or do you just get what you're given?
I think get what you're given.
$100 ahead.
That's outrageous.
But she's making a profit, surely, unless she's,
if she's having success.
So serving Peking duck or something.
Say, for instance, she's got six members coming over, six friends. That's $600. That wouldn't cost you that much to make a steak and a bit of garlic bread. And a tossed salad.
By the way, I'm just the fact checkers are checking your maths, and apparently six people at $100 is $600.
Hang on, is it per person or per couple? There's a bombshell.
Per person.
Oh, no, per person.
$200 per couple.
Yeah, for dinner.
Ridiculous.
There you go. Hey, we're asking, who's a tight ass? You're a tight ass.
No, only once. I tend to use the bin liners. I take the dog poo bags from the park across the road, and I have been known to use them as my bin liners.
Oh, you are terrible.
You're a tight ass.
You're sad.
You are sad.
That poor doggies now can't poo anywhere.
Pay my rates.
hey, why don't you go down to the fruit shop and take a couple of their bags too? And
put
them back after you've used them. What is wrong with you?
Look,
I don't do it all the time. It just, it's, they make a wonderful bin liner.
Triple M paying you?
Not enough. Let's have a talk about it.
Tash, you'd be a tie. You're a tight ass. You're a bean counter. You are.
I still use 10 cent and 20 cent coins if I'm paying for something at the corner shop. I use cash. And also I've been known to get a bit of a win on supermarket prices. I'll eat a grape that I don't pay for.
You'll eat a grape.
You'll eat a grape on the shop floor.
And then I just look at the security camera and smile, thinking I'm winning.
Oh, jeez. Oh, such a robbery.
What a rebel.
You called me sad.
You? I don't know where to start with you. Yeah, like constantly. Now, Darren's on the line. Darren, you tight ass, buddy?
I'm not, mate. I'm the ex-brother-in-law.
Mate, can you speak up? We can't hear you. Where are you? Are you hands-free? Are you using someone else's phone? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm in the truck at the moment.
Oh. All right. Well, what happened?
The ex-brother-in-law used to go and pull the fuse out of the fuse box because the oven had a clock on it.
Well, I don't get it. Well, you didn't want to...
Didn't want the light on.
I didn't want to pay the electricity
for the clock being on.
Oh, I'll give him something.
That's tight ass.
You know what? You've scored the pandemonium tickets.
There
right?
you go.
Yeah, Dazza.
Hey, sell them to him. Sell them to him. $100 a head.
$200 a head.
I'll pay for them.
Good on you, mate.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the f***?
WTF?
Two pilots fell asleep mid-air for 28 minutes.
What the f***? You've got to be kidding me.
What?
Yes. Indonesia's National Transportation Safety Committee found that the Batik Air flight was pilotless for around 28 minutes, and everyone was alerted when the plane seemed to veer off course.
Oh, my God. It's like a passenger.
Well, they just realised that, I think the control tower goes, what's going on? And they had to rouse the pilots.
You've got one job.
Well, you got one job. Stay awake.
Mm. And there's two of you. One of you stay awake.
Well, you know you're in trouble when your pilots are getting around wearing those neck pillows. And fans, you know you're in trouble when the cockpit has a do not disturb sign up on the door. you know when the over the sound system, all you can hear is snoring. Yeah. This
That's
is your captain
terrifying.
Speaking. Can you keep it down, please?
Trying to get a bit of shut-eye.
We're trying to get some shut-eye. Give us a call just before we land. Oh. What an incredible set of circumstances that is. Boy. All right. Who else has got one here?
I've got one. Sydney's biggest croissant is 1.2 kilograms big.
What the f***?
And it comes with 3 litres of coffee.
I think that's Matt Preston's breakfast.
So
that's his
Ladori.
Well, 1.2
massive
croissant.
Yes, Ladori. How do you say that?
Patisserie.
Patisserie. Yes. They just recently opened in Greenacre, and you can go in there and get a 1.2 kilogram croissant with 3 litres of coffee for $110.
What the f***?
I don't know about the coffee. It might keep me up for a few.
You know the woman from Melbourne hosting the dinner party? That's what she should go and buy and split it.
Yeah.
Oh, if you go into her place for breakfast, for brunch, that's what you want. What have you got, Kat?
The Tasmanian Premier has promised that if he gets re-elected, he will build Tasmania the world's largest chocolate fountain.
Willy Wonka.
What a platform.
It's proven very popular, I think.
Platform. Yep. Oh, let's vote for the chocolate fountain.
Oh. Not hospitals.
It'll be classified if I know Tasmania too. Most wilderness.
What would you do if you were Premier? What was the one?
I would build a chocolate fountain and then dam it.
With beavers?
I would dam it and then hopefully be protested and the Greens would try and get the dam overturned. Release the chocolate. What about you?
Restaurants in LA are now going bust because so many people are on diet pills and diet tablets like Ozempic. They're not eating at the restaurants.
So what the f***? You mean they're turning up but not eating or not turning up?
Not turning up.
They're turning up. If they do turn up, they won't
have
eat anything.
Celery. I'll have some celery.
They will not eat anything because a lot of these diet injections, you can't eat.
As you go to that woman's dinner party.
$100.
All right, you get the idea. 1-3-3-5-3-$1,000
in the kitty. Yes, wow. Still ready to go.
Ice House, formerly known as Flowers.
Oh, that's true.
What the?
Yes.
Had to change it.
They were touring America. There was someone already called Flowers. Do I win anything?
You've got $1,000 you can dish out to
yourself. I'll give myself $1,000.
Well, no, okay, then we don't have anything for anyone else.
Well,
it's Tuesday.
What's the problem? Today's episode of What the F is brought to you by the two pilots who fell asleep mid-air for 28 minutes. Here's they actually announced their intention to do it.
And gentlemen, this is the second officer speaking on behalf of the captain, who is currently in a deep sleep. I plan to be doing exactly the same, but I was hoping that one of you passengers might have picked up one of those overpriced wraparound your neck pillows from the magazine shop on the way to the gate today. I've left mine at home. Also, if the couple in the toilet just behind the cockpit here, if you could keep that banging noise down, that would be appreciated. Yes, we do have a direct feed from those loos onto our screens here. Oh, yeah, and the annoying kid back in 22D, someone will be along shortly to grab your teddy, because I've left that at home too. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your flight.
Yeah. You don't want to hear snoring on a black box recorder, do you?
No.
That would be the giveaway. All right. Now, you've got another one, Tash.
Princess Kate has issued an apology after a major Photoshop fail. I will always keep going.
All right, what do you want? No, you've been proven right. This has developed into a big story.
Yeah.
What?
After the Photoshop fail with her and the three children, she has issued an apology saying she would like to apologise because, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing.
Yeah. What the f***? Well, yeah. Everyone does. Doesn't everyone do it these days?
You don't buy that?
No, I don't.
Doesn't
everyone use a filter?
No, it's super sus.
Valencia Pro?
And now she's issued an apology.
Yeah, because it's caused an
uproar.
People like you are trying to turn it into something it's not.
Or to get to the truth.
Oh, you can't handle the truth.
Jeez.
Alicia, help.
Yes.
Help.
Help
us. Alicia, what have you got for us?
Snails have both sex organs and they can impregnate themselves if they can't find a mate.
What the f***?
How
handy
good.
Would that
How
be?
How good.
It's going to save you a lot in drinks.
Oh.
And nightclub appearances, even going out.
Yeah.
And dinner, you know, rom-coms.
Chatting.
Sit at home on the couch.
You have a rom-com all right.
How are you feeling? Horny? All right. Well,
let's have a kid.
Me too. Hang on. It's just me.
There's a mirror.
Which, that's better than...
Oh, jeez.
It's better than... Yeah, seahorses. Oh, the man gets pregnant. The male gets pregnant.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Do you know what would be good? Yeah. And you know what, MG? There'd be a lot less whinging during childbirth.
Yeah,
am I right, fellas?
Yes, you'd have 12 months off.
Am I right?
You'd have 2 years off.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know female elements are pregnant for 22 months? Mm. So think about that next time you start whinging. Having a whine about...
How many children have you carried?
Four. Five.
You've got five children, not four.
Done a head count lately? Mate, all the heavy lifting's done after the actual impregnation.
Yeah.
It's time to go and have a lie down.
Yeah. Then you get like munchies all the time.
We're spent. Alicia, good story. Hang about. You might win something. Gavin, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good again,
Gavin. What is it?
Your average office desk has 400 times more bacteria than your average dunny.
Oh, what the f***? I think you can triple that here at Triple M.
Yeah.
Is it true? Did I come in this morning?
Can I smell vomit?
I came in and I go, look, I'm being serious. I can smell vomit in this studio. And that's usually, your midnight to dawn guy. Yeah. Something has gone on
in this studio. Today.
There should be police tape up around here, and someone.
Isn't Del here in the afternoons?
Del, was he?
And he was at our drinks in the morning.
Put two and two together.
Let's have a look at that. Yes, I hear what you're saying, Gavin. Well done, Jimmy. What have you got?
It would take 29 years to visit one new Aussie beach every day.
What the f***? Visit one beach every day? Why? Oh, it's because there are a lot of beaches.
Yeah, because there were about 10,685 of them.
Do you know what? Fact checkers are wrong. You didn't include Penrith Beach. Yeah. Sorry. Oh! It's an extra day. No money today.
No money.
And we've been joined live from our Adelaide studios today. He's over there wowing them at the Adelaide Fringe Festival. Coming in live, making welcome, is Merrick Watts.
Yes. Good morning, boys. How are you, Merrick?
Yeah, very good indeed. Look, I've been sweltering it out here in Adelaide. I'm not going to lie. It's one of the few occasions you go, geez, I wouldn't mind some Sydney weather where I could just sit around and steam in the humidity. It's dry and hot over here. They're going through a heat wave at the moment. So
you've been doing shows in a tent. Yep. How's that been going? Because I know that it's the Garden of Unearthly Delights is where most of the acts play. Mm-hmm. What's it like performing in a tent in 40 degree heat?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
A lot of sweating going on.
Yeah, it's been like 40 degrees pretty much every day. And I've been doing a wine show, and it is Guide to Wine Volume 2 in a tent, in the Spiegel tent, which is, it is air conditioned, but the air conditioning is, it's not real air conditioning. It's not. It's just, and you just sweat. Like every single show, I say at the start of the show, I go, okay, at some stage, to the audience, I say, at some stage, you've got to let me know when I get titty sweat.
Yeah.
Right? Just let me know. Let me know when I've got a little bra of sweat going on. And eventually, it takes about 15 minutes before I just get this droopy boob sweat and it just pours down there like that. And that's part of the show. I haven't written any jokes. That's what we do is I just stand on stage and we monitor my boobies until the sweat comes out underneath like a bra.
Oh, tickets are selling like hotcakes as we speak. It would be like doing a show in the butterfly enclosure. Oh, I would imagine. Humid, hot conditions. You mentioned you're doing a wine show. How are the wineries over there in Adelaide coping with these notoriously tough conditions for the grape?
Yeah, look, I mean, most of them would have been intelligently probably taken most of the grapes off the vines last week before the heat wave. Otherwise, it'd just be cooking. You'd have jam on the vines, but it gets a bit jammy. But they're doing all right. It's funny, like, how much the heat really just slows. And it was on Sunday, it was 33 degrees at 8:30 a.m.
Wow.
And I just and I woke up in a stranger's house and I went, this is not how I plan my weekend. Where am I? Who's Keith? Why am I in Snowtown? This is like horrible.
Why is there a barrel in next to me?
Exactly. It's gone. Merrick.
All right.
Barrels, don't you, Merrick?
No, wrong barrels, Keith.
Now, listen, you're over there. I believe you had a bit of a mad Monday yourself, and I know how overexcited you get when you get to these festivals because there'll be 50 comics in town. Yeah. You'll have done your show. Everyone's done their show.
Yep.
And comics are a fairly hard bunch to get out on the turfs.
Oh, yeah. Twist your arm.
You hit the town, didn't you? You sound a little like we had a mad Monday yesterday. Sounds like you've had one too.
Yeah, absolutely. When I heard that you boys had the mad Monday and I wasn't able to be there, I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll just start my own.
Yeah, nice.
So, it's a public holiday yesterday in Adelaide.
Yeah.
So South Australia had a public holiday, and I went, well, okay, well.
It's hard to tell the difference in Adelaide, by the way, between a public holiday and a normal day.
It's the same. You just go, oh, my God, the traffic is so quiet today. And they go, that's every day, mate. So I did. I finished my show yesterday at about 3:15, and at 3:30 I was like, well, what do we do, boys? And they're like, I don't know, maybe we should just go and just have like one quiet ale. It's always we have a quiet ale. It's a Monday. Let's not be ridiculous. And then by 6:30, I was going, let's see how hard we can push the needle.
Can I just ask you this? The biggest lie people tell themselves knowing is, why don't we go and have one?
No.
Have you, name me the one occasion you've ever gone out and had one.
I never have.
It just doesn't happen. So the minute you say or agree to go out for one, you know what you're doing.
That's right.
In a court of law, you'll be found guilty because they'll say that is not acceptable.
Exactly right.
I can give you the worst example of that. I went to Vegas about 15 years ago and I was working, but I went there and a mate of mine I was working with said, come and have one beer. We're at the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Vegas, right? And he goes, come and have one beer at the sports bar. And I said, mate, I can't. I've got to work tomorrow. I can't. And he goes, just have one beer, man. And I went, I'm not drinking. And he goes, have one beer. One beer. That's all I asked. And I went, all right. So it was 3 p.m. I went, one beer. One beer, and then I'll go to my room and we'll that'll be the end of it.
No, I'm done.
Okay. at 7 a.m. the next day. 7 a.m. the next day, I rang my wife and I said, help, there's going to be some charges that are going to come through on a credit card, and it says Scores. And she goes, is that a sports bar? And I said, kind of, but more like a strip club. And she said, yeah, it's the same one that Kevin Rudd went to, right? And she said, how much is it? I said, I think it's $1,500. US.
Yeah.
US. Yeah. US. And she said, what was that for? And I said, I met some people and they were really kind to me. And she said, were those kind people strippers? And I said, they may have been. I don't know. I didn't ask them their occupation. I'm not that sort of person. I'm not judgmental, but they may have been.
We're unsure.
They may have been.
At this stage, we're talking to Merrick Watts, of course, from our Adelaide studio. He's over there, but it hasn't stopped him keeping one eye on what's going on in the eastern suburbs.
Eastern suburbs problems.
All right, big fella.
There's a war going on in Rose Bay, which makes me so happy when I hear that. I can't tell you enough.
What's happened?
There's a neighbourly war going on. I have to be very, very careful because there's a dispute between two neighbours in Rose Bay over a property that has planted some palm trees. Now, this property, of course, is one of the poorer. It's kind of the POV end of
the Bronx,
Rose Bay.
They call it.
Yeah, it's like the Bronx.
Only a 3.8 mil house.
No, it's an ugly place. It's 27 million. 27 million dollar property.
Oh, there goes the neighbourhood.
And one of the people who owns this property is in the dispute is a barrister. So I will not be using their real name because I normally employ these people. I don't wish to be sued by these people, right?
Call them Glenn.
They're normally people I go to for help when I've committed a crime. So we'll just call them Karen and Sharon, right?
Okay.
So they're having a bit of a dispute about interrupted views that have been a result of planting some palm trees there, and they're at war with each other. Absolutely. It's gone straight to legal counsel, straight into it. It's in the courts because, I mean, that's what you do. You don't just go around there.
No.
There's no court-appointed lawyer here, is there? This is the top end of town. There'll be about 40 silks on deck.
Exactly. Straight to pistols. That's what they do. They go straight to guns.
Old Sydney town.
Yeah. It's not like the old days where what you do is you go around to your neighbour's place and you go, I reckon your tree's in the way, mate. And you go, oh, do you reckon you could cut that down? Yeah, I could cut
that
down.
Sure, mate.
Yeah,
no drama.
Nah, they've gone, let's go to court straight away. So Karen and Sharon have gone to court and the dispute over the palm trees has now been turned over, but they had, and I quote, the plaintiff was saying that there was a devastating impact on their life. As the trees that they planted was a devastating impact. And you hear devastating impact, you go, well, that's cancer, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at.
No,
it was a devastating impact was because it was obscuring views of the opera house. And, I mean, that's something we all have to live in.
Yeah, that's first world problem.
I mean, when we all buy a property in Sydney, we just go, you know what, if my biggest avoidance is devastating impact of not being able to see the Sydney Opera House.
Unbelievable. Well,
and
that is
so they are a battle.
Classic eastern suburbs, brouhaha, turf war, Hatfields and McCoys.
Can only be fixed with Rose a kickboxing tournament. That's the only way you can fix it. I put that forward. They said, how do we repair this? I said, mediation? What do you want mediation for? Kickboxing tournament, MMA.
Get
them in the octagon.
Now, before we go, I've got to ask you, how are you going? Are you missing your dog? The Great Dane, you're over there in Adelaide. How many days has it been? Do you ring in every day? What happens?
Okay. So I've been here for 5 days. I've spoken to my children none times. I've got a boy and a girl. I've not spoken to either of them. I've spoken to my wife 3 times. I've spoken to the dog 11 times. I ring the dog and I just go, just do something. Just sniff the phone. Just anything. Just sniff the phone. Just let me know that you love me. And the dog does. And I know that I have more pictures sent to me from my wife of the dog than I do of my children. So what I'm saying is I love the dog more than my family.
Yep. I get
and
that.
So I've got another week in Adelaide, so we're flying the dog over on Thursday because I just can't do it.
Well,
it'll
be in the front row of your show, which is going gangbusters over there. Yeah, you're a bloody funny man. Thank you for coming in after your Mad Monday, Mads. I'd plug your shows, but yeah, it's probably a bit late to get someone from Sydney.
It is Got to Wine. Volume 2 will begin in Sydney at the Grand Electric in June.
Bang.
Tickets go on sale today.
Let's do it.
Go on, you man.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.